Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
Our thanks to you for being with us today. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Radio America. But more importantly, thank you for taking the time to join us here on Home and Family Finance. And, of course, thanks to my special guests that we have today. And I think you'll enjoy what they have to say. A little diverse from each other. And that's the way it ought to be, because we're going to talk about on this nice warm day that young man or woman that's hanging around the house. Because despite the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, you've paid for their education, they have no job. And they seem pretty much like they did when they started college, unmotivated or at least no sense of direction. My first guest, John Spooner, has written a book, and I think he hits it well on the head. It's certainly for me, because, as you all know, I have three young college grads. The last one to graduate was last month from Franklin and Marshall. But the name of the book is No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults. And I thank John Spooner for joining us, and he'll be with us in just a minute. And I think he has some things to say that may give you some insights as to how to motivate and how to deal with that young adult. And if you are that young adult, then he'll speak directly to you about what he thinks. And then we turn to a topic that we often talk about here, and that's our military, because we do have the pleasure of being on the American Forces radio network worldwide, and we appreciate that. Bud Schneeweis is head of an organization called FINRA. Some of you in the military will know what that is. Many of you won't. But we'll explain that to everyone and the importance of this organization as it relates to our military members, wherever they might be and whatever they might be doing. So I just caution you not to miss what Bud has to say, because when I talk about, I say military, I'm talking about our sons and our daughters, our husbands, our wives. I'm talking about our family. You call them military, but they're family members who have chosen to defend us wherever they might be in the world. And we share information with them, and we appreciate their listening to the program and being on the network. But now we're going to turn to John Spooner. John, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
I can't tell you how great it is to be here. And I was served in the Medical Corps in the U.S. Army.
Yes.
And just last week, I got an email from a cadet at West Point who had just read this book and said it meant so much to him, and he's going to spread the news to all of his cohorts.
That's wonderful, and that's exactly what I intend to do to his cohorts and a lot of other people around the nation and around the world, because, you know, as I said, this is personal to me, John. I have three college graduates of whom I'm tremendously proud. One is teaching English to the Thais and Thais to the English in Bangkok, Thailand. And Tali is our oldest, and he's working hard. My daughter is working for the International Monetary Fund in Washington, D.C., the World Bank, and is very excited about that and gets the message. And my youngest son, who's just graduated from Franklin and Marshall, is about to leave home for London to take a job there as a television associate producer. So I'm blessed to have three motivated young people. But
this is unusual, by the way.
Absolutely.
As opposed to most stories I hear about the younger generation.
Yeah, the millennials they're different, John. Talk to me about, obviously, you saw that difference and you understand it. That's why you wrote the book, I presume.
Well, I have lots of young people in my life, partially because of the last book I wrote, having to do with kids just coming out of college. And so I'm in the advice and counsel business for young people, it seems. And this is typical. In my building, big building in downtown Boston, there's an ad agency, 500 people. They all look like they're 27 years old, street people, flip-flops, tank tops, et cetera.
Yeah.
And four get on the elevator, and each of them gets on their smartphone. Don't talk to each other. Get off. And I started to ask them in the last 6 months to a year, where do you see yourselves in 5 years? And I get two answers. One of the answers is, I see me working for myself, but they have no idea how this is going to form, kind of clueless and just an empty phrase. The second answer I get is, where am I going to be in 5 years? I don't even know where I'm going to be next week. So it's a two-pronged problem with the next generations. One is educational problem. No one does tell them certain things, particularly practical things. Mm-hmm. What happens if you lose a parent? How do you write resumes to get jobs in a difficult market? What if you get fired? What if you get divorced? Fathers and sons and issues within families, themselves. Practical stuff. How do you make money in the stock market? How do you save for the future? And I find that in this virtual world we're in, people, the young people, are longing for stories that teach a lesson. Practical, common sense. So education, schools are not teaching kids anything that's practical. There's financial illiteracy among this group. And the second part is the home. Parents of a certain age around America seem to be wanted to be more buddies with their kids than teachers to their kids. So it's almost that they're afraid to lay down the law the way it was laid down to us in so many ways. And they come out of school desperate for answers and real relationships, not virtual ones, and they're kind of lost in society. So this book addresses, how do you separate yourself from a crowd of 320 million Americans?
Hold that thought, John. Hold right there, because I want to take, because I want to come back and talk to you about the mechanics of that. John Spooner is my guest. We'll be right back with more.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
So no one ever told us that. No one ever said it to me. Money and life lessons for young adults. Have you told your, has somebody told you, if you're that young adult or if you're a parent that John Spooner is just talking about, that's the name of his book, he's taking a look and he's reflect to us where we are today. Maybe no one's ever told them, these young folks, because you can't get them off their cell phones. This is the, you know what, I was driving down to a funeral with six people in my car, four of them young people and two of them are older adults, and all of them, when I looked through the mirror, all of them were on their own. Nobody was having a conversation. They were on their iPhones, on their smartphones.
Well, this is a huge problem in society. And when I talk about cluelessness, two little simple things, and kind of gives you a flavor for the book. One is, if you're all hot to apply for jobs right out of school, you make a list of who you're going to call on Monday morning. You make the list on Sunday night. And you start to make the calls looking for informational meetings or interviews. Never call anyone who's busy on a Monday morning looking for informational meetings or an interview, because busy people are getting their work week started. The last person they want to hear from is you first thing Monday morning. The best time to call as a young person for stuff like this is Tuesday afternoon after lunch. By then, busy people have their work organized, and young people say, I never thought of that. Do not call anybody who's busy on a Monday morning. Second thing is, the shortest chapter in this book is about weekends. Young people, you may actually, when you have jobs, have to work on a weekend. What a concept. And and if you have to call on a customer or a prospect, et cetera, on a weekend, a Saturday or a Sunday, never call anyone who's over 60 between the hours of 3 and 5 in the afternoon, because they may be napping and you're just going to annoy them. So another little life lesson.
Right. Tons of life lessons. And I understand that, and I think these are the kinds of things that you talk about. We don't get these messages across to our Generation X or millennials, and they don't just naturally think of them. But I don't think they think of very much when you've got your head stuck in your telephone. It's a wonderful device. I have one, and I use it. And everything is right there at the tip of my finger, at the touch of my finger. But what is not there is the voice of my father, my mother, my grandmother, my brother, sister, people that are around me. I think, and maybe I'm making too much of it, but I think we have to lift our heads and look at each other and talk to it. We used to communicate more, didn't we?
Well, it's really, there's a dichotomy. So on one hand, the whole generation is on their smartphones. And on the other hand, I run a money management business when I'm not writing. And I've had two full-time jobs my entire working life, the creative side and the practical side. And I walk through the boardroom where the rookies are. And occasionally, I'll stop and sit on an empty desk and address the boardroom. Maybe there are 20 to 25 rookies. Mm-hmm. And I tell them stories about how the business used to be and what life used to be and what you have to do to make it in the investment business and watching other people's money. And they're fascinated by their stories. And they're real stories that teach a lesson. And I find, on one hand, they're in the virtual world. On the other hand, they're longing for real relationships, not virtual ones, but they don't know how to get them.
The name of the book, No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults. John Spooner is telling you that, and you can pick up his book and read it through. John, where can this book be found, and what was the earlier book that you wrote that you were talking about?
Well, it's the earlier book was also No One Ever Told Us That, but it was letters on life and money to my grandchildren. So two young people, a grandson and a granddaughter, who were just getting out of high school and or college. This one is for the 25 to 40 plus years, really the millennials plus, and it has darker stuff that young kids getting out of school wouldn't really understand. And the idea was, this new one is my 11th book, and it just occurred to me that kids love stories, and I wanted to tell them stories that teach a lesson.
Do you, what is your, let me stop for a minute. We've got, I'll take a break here and we'll pay the bill. And when we come back, because my question to John will be this, about young people, about your children, or about you. What is his perspective? Are you going to be successful? Can you be, given a particular approach you take to life and living? This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Barry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I am your host, Paul Barry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support, as well as CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. They are all dedicated and make this the sponsorship available to make all of us financially fit. That's what this is all about. Are you financially fit? It's an interesting question and one you should take a look at. One of the topics that I really enjoy talking about is, because I'm in the midst of it with my young people, as you've heard, and with John Spooner, who's written this book, this new book that is very, very appropriate. No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults. You can find it at the better bookstores that you shop at. And John, as I indicated to my audience, you have been motivated to write these things because you take a particular look at society where we are. Looking at millennials and looking at Generation X and their particular approach with their smartphones and with the technologies that surround them. Are you hopeful? Are they going to survive? Do we have a chance here?
It's a great question, and it's really on everybody who's has thought processes on their minds. And I'm hopeful if we can kick our educational system into gear and kind of look at and if education doesn't kick in and it doesn't happen in the home, then everybody, mentors are seemingly absent from society today in many ways. So one of the chapters in the new book is take the old pro to lunch. So any organization you're in and any job you're in, no matter how low level you are, look for the oldest person in the office and go over to them and ask them, can I take you to lunch? And you're going to pay as a young person. It'll be worth it because they'll be flattered to be asked and they can give you the experience of their whole careers and give you street smart advice on how to proceed in your career. So if a mentor, a coach, or a teacher didn't drop into your life before, time to start seeking out a mentor. And in almost every place you go, and if you take the old pro to lunch, it'll pay for itself hundreds of times in terms of the information you'll get. You've got to start looking at the world in different ways, including how to brand yourself and how to write resumes. If I could just give a little hint about that,
sure,
it might be helpful to your audience. So I see dozens of resumes, if not hundreds, every year, people who want to write or get into the world of finance. And I look at the resumes and I say, these are just totally plain vanilla resumes. I want to see something that jumps off the page at me, something different. Like, and it may be your hobbies or your interest. Who cares about your educational background? And most busy people will spend 30 seconds looking at a resume. Mm-hmm. Have something that jumps out. Like, there are clubs in life, Paul. Like, what's a club? If you played rugby, if you played women's volleyball, if you played women's ice hockey.
Yeah, something that makes you different, something that says you're not just run-of-the-mill. Yeah.
And just don't say wrestling team. Say wrestling high school had the strongest chokehold on the team. In other words, personalize yourself, brand yourself, and start it at an early age.
You know, such great advice, and this is all can be found in the book, No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults by John Spooner, and you can find it because we can't possibly cover all the things he does cover in the book. One of the things that is of concern to me, John, is that our technology has advanced so rapidly that we haven't put together ways to deal with it. You know, we don't have strategies to not only use the technology. I'm talking about parents and some of these young adults. Mm-hmm. We just haven't thought about how can we really make this work to our advantage. Is that a fair statement?
It's a totally fair statement. For instance, if you think about it, and as adults listen to this, something goes wrong in my life in technology every day. The television set doesn't work. I get sound but no picture. Picture with no sound. Something needs help. We need a tech person almost daily. It's so frustrating, and it's time-wasting. And one of the things I try to do, because the attention span in America is snap your fingers. You've got to get in and out. That's why I like to tell stories that teach a lesson and have them be pithy or have people smile. The teachers I remember made me smile or laugh in those lessons.
Let me push your book one more time. We're out of time, John. No One Ever Told Us That, Money and Life Lessons for Young Adults, John D. Spooner. And obviously, I'm going to have him back on the show because he's got a lot more to say. John, thank you for joining us. You will come back, won't you?
Anytime you want, Paul. I think you do such a great service, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We're going to turn our attention to the military, coming up with a man who has the right to do so. A retired Navy captain. Stay with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, and I'm very pleased to have you on my side and listening as we talk about a number of things. I want to start out by talking about the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions. They believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves and their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, it supports, and encourages military families to save money and to reduce debt and to build wealth, things that we should all be striving to do. And as part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. I want you to check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. You set a goal, you make a plan, and you save automatically. So go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And that reminds me of how many organizations are out there in support of our military. And as I said at the beginning of this show, when I told you that one of my guests was going to be here to talk about elements that are designed to make sure that our military members get a fair shake. And in just a few seconds here, I'm going to bring in Bud Schneeweis to talk about some programs, some things in place to protect, from his perspective, how we can protect our military members. We're talking about your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives. We're talking about you. And we have the pleasure of every week having military representatives from members from around the world listening in to the program. And that's something of particular interest to my next guest, who just happens to be keenly involved with the military. Now, Captain W.G. Bud Schneeweiss joined FINRA, and he'll tell you what FINRA is, F-I-N-R-A, Investor Education Foundation, as the director of the Military Financial Readiness Project back in January of 2013. He enjoys traveling to meet and discuss financial and benefit issues with members of our military community, especially those like you working to improve, to maintain our defense, wherever you might be. And, of course, he's working with folks who are out there to improve military financial capability. But it's a pleasure to have you on the program again. Thanks for joining us here on Home and Family Finance.
Paul, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for the opportunity. And yes, the FINRA Foundation. The FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and we oversee the operations of all the broker dealers, anybody who sells stocks, bonds, and mutual funds in the country, and they must belong to the FINRA Foundation.
To do so, in order
yes,
to okay,
absolutely.
Well, all right. So this is one. This is an organization designed again to protect the best interest of our service members. Is that? Right.
That's absolutely correct. And we do that through some of our own programs and also through some of the very strong partnerships we have with other organizations. Now, you mentioned the Military Saves when you kicked off your program. And yes, we partner with Military Saves, and we are great supporters of their efforts. And also the Defense Credit Union Council. We think that they're a wonderful organization doing good things for members.
You know, folks, I want you to think about this, because if I say to you, young people, and I say somebody that's making money, somebody that's got a responsibility, somebody or someone who is important to us, you have to think military. You have to realize, because they have a 9-to-5, sometimes a 24-hour job, and Bud can tell you that's having served in the military before. I think he was in the Coast Guard. It's easy to what I'm trying to get to here, Bud, is that they're easy targets. You know they make money. You know they have to have a responsibility. But that's just the problem. Sometimes those who target our military don't always have their best interest at heart.
You're absolutely right, Paul. And that's one of the points I wanted to bring up today. And this is a phenomenon known as affinity fraud. And affinity fraud basically means that someone who's a member of your group or represents themselves as a member of your group, you are more inclined to trust them with your money and with your information and, geez, if you've served beside them in the service, with your lives. And that bond is very, very strong, but it's been broken by folks targeting our military and trying to take their hard-earned money away from them.
You don't mean people that they know and trust, people that they've even served with sometimes or served for, would take advantage of our soldiers? Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. People are very familiar with the installations around bases that sometimes target military. But I'm talking about folks that actually served with another individual member of the same, not only service, but company or platoon, and later get into the financial world and fleece their former comrade of their money.
So, but okay, and I can understand how somebody can, you know, can fall into this. How do I protect myself? What must I do to protect myself?
Well, the first thing to realize is that this is a very normal thing to happen. We are tribal people, and we trust members of our tribe more than anyone else. The military is a band of brothers and sisters, and we are more inclined to give undue trust to somebody simply because of that bond.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I said yes. I agree. Go ahead. And that's obvious. That, you know, I work with him. I serve with him. So why isn't this guy the guy I should trust? Right. I mean, that's kind of the mindset.
Well, there's a famous expression by one of our former presidents, who, when he was dealing with the Soviets over the missile crisis, said, "We trust, but we verify."
Yeah.
And that's the same advice I would like to pass along to our servicemen and women, that regardless of the bond that you may have had with somebody, always trust but verify. And we can talk about some of the ways that they can do that.
Okay. All right. Let me stop for a minute and pay the bill. We're talking with Bud Schneeweiss, who is spent a career in the U.S. Coast Guard, retiring as a captain. During his career, he held several commands afloat and ashore. He is a graduate of U.S. Coast Guard Academy and holds several advanced degrees. Folks, he's someone who you should listen to, especially if you're in the military. When we come back, he'll give us some advice that I think you should take to heart. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're pleased to have as our guest Bud Chenewise, who has served his country for many years in great capacity. A Military Officers Association of America. He served on the staff there. While at MOAA, he helped establish its military financial education and military spouse programs. I can go on and on about the things that he's done, but what's most important now is what he wants you to hear in terms of protecting yourself from those who you might think mean you no harm, but you've got to, as you heard him say, you can trust, but you got to verify. Go ahead, Bud.
Well, that's great, Paul. We don't do a very good job in America educating people about finances and investment. So folks are largely on their own, and a lot of service members work very hard for their money, and we want to make sure that they hold on to their money and make it grow for them.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I was talking about that, let's just take an example. We take a young kid, 16, 17, 18, joins the service, is smart, ambitious, willing to work. He comes in and he goes, maybe he's off in Afghanistan or wherever there is conflict. And during that period of time, he gets a little bit older, but his rank grows. And pretty soon, he is making a considerable amount of money, isn't he, Bud?
Yeah. And Paul, as you realize, many of them, it's the first real money that they've earned in their life. And especially with an overseas deployment, that money can burn a hole in their pocket. And they're looking for opportunities to invest it wisely. And sometimes they jump at the opportunities to come along without doing the sufficient research that's required to make sure that those are sound investments.
So give me some ideas, some of the points that you wanted to make about what they can do to protect themselves.
Absolutely. The first thing you want to know is the person you're dealing with licensed to sell you the investment that they are proposing? And there are a couple of ways to go after this information, and one of them is on the FINRA.org website, FINRA.org/broker check. And since I mentioned earlier that all brokers are required to be registered with FINRA, we license them, and we have the power to revoke that license if they don't keep their customers, treat them honestly, then that's the first place they should look. And if that individual representing themselves as a legitimate broker-dealer isn't registered with FINRA, that's a red flag. You should walk away.
Okay, folks, hear that loud and clear. If they're not being check out who you're going to deal with. And then if you are dealing with someone who is licensed, but during the course of that, you don't feel that you are getting your money's worth or that you feel comfortable, what should you do?
Well, I mentioned earlier, walk away. You should never give your money to somebody that's not known and not completely trusted by you. But this is a part of the crux of the problem is we do trust these people because we serve with them. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. Trust is great, and that band of brothers and sisters is very, very strong, but you must verify. The second thing, Paul, is to check out the investment. If they're offering you something that sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Usually so. Yep. Probably is.
And you can visit the Securities and Exchange Commission website to check out any investment that's being proposed. If it's offered to the public, it has to be registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And that's just SEC.gov. Check out the investment on there and make sure it's legitimate and above board.
From your perspective, because obviously that's part of the responsibility of FINRA, is to make sure that these organizations are operating as they should. And I guess what I'm going to say, I suspect that you find that most operations, most individuals that deal with servicemen are doing it the right way, but not everyone is.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. What typically happens in a case of affinity fraud is the money is spent almost immediately as it's taken in. So even if the perpetrator is caught, there often is nothing left to give back to the to those who were victimized. And one example in Florida, a Marine was contacted by a former buddy who he had served two tours in Iraq with. The buddy started up an investment firm, took this individual's $400,000 inheritance that he got from when his dad passed away, and invested it basically in a lavish lifestyle.
Jeepers. You hate to hear that, but it happens. You know it happens, and it's going to continue to happen unless you properly protect yourself. Isn't that true?
You're absolutely right. So that trust and verify should be going through everyone else's mind. But there are a few other things to keep in mind. One thing is it's really useful to know what are historic rates of return for certain kinds of investments. Everybody likes to think they're going to get in on the ground floor and make great returns. But if someone is promising you 100 and 200% returns, well, that's unrealistic. Get in there, dig in, do your research, and know that the stock market, on average over time, returns about 10% a year at the most. So there are good years and bad years. Some years it falls, some years it rises. But if someone's promising excessive returns year after year, that's a red flag. You should walk away and not part with your money.
Now, can people go to FINRA, to your website, and learn or make contact with agencies, individuals that you advise or that you feel comfortable with saying, go here or go there?
Well, we don't recommend individual brokers or dealers, but what they can kind of get at the same information by using BrokerCheck. What BrokerCheck reveals is, what has this individual broker or dealer had any problems? Have there been any disciplinary actions? Is he or she a job hopper? Mm-hmm. That's often a red flag that they're not doing real well with their firms. And if they've ever had a personal bankruptcy or other a breach of trust, that's going to appear on their disciplinary record on BrokerCheck.
My guest is Captain W.G. Bud Schneeweis. He is retired from the United States Coast Guard, and he has dedicated a major portion of his life to the organization that is designed to protect you if you're the military member and if you are serving and of your family that's serving. But when we come back, and we'll stop for just a minute, I want to ask you about the dependent, the person that's left home, who has to manage a number of different things. Get your perspective on how best they can be protected and how best they can be how best they can deal with the situation while their loved one is off and gone, and God knows there are tons of young people that fit that description. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. I look forward to that, Paul. Thank you.
Okay. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We're talking about our military audience out there who do us such a service. And we thank you for that service. And we're very pleased to talk directly to you and to bring you the experts who can help you in every possible way. This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest is Captain W.G. Bud Schneeweis, retired, and he is director of the Military Financial Readiness Project, which he joined back in January of 2013. And FINRA is the agency that he represents here, an agency that is designed to help look out for the best interest of our servicemen serving around the world. And to all of you serving around the world, we know that we come to you via the American Forces Radio Network, and we thank you for listening in and from time to time on this program that is all about financial readiness for us, whether you are civilian or military. We devote a good portion of this to our military members and listeners. We remember that you are husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister. You are someone of family who happens to be courageous enough to join the military and to serve in the defense of your nation, and we appreciate you. But these people that we're talking about, active members, are very often assigned to places that means they leave either their wife or their husband or someone that they love at home. I suspect that these people are vulnerable just as much as a military member.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. They are vulnerable. And not only that, they come into this where they're often very trusting. This is a new experience working with the military, and they're one step removed, and they may not get all of the direct involved help that a military member, him or herself, actually receives. So, mm-hmm. yes, I would say they're especially vulnerable.
Okay. And are they? Can they come to any of the assigned organizations or member organizations that are linked to you for help as well?
Paul, they absolutely can. All of the resources that are available from FINRA Foundation or SaveAndInvest.org, of course, all the government resources, and most of the on-installation resources are open to military spouses as well as a service member.
What do you see in the future here with the new technologies and everything else that's out there, Bud? Is it a bright future? I mean, I know a lot of young people are making decisions about where they think they wanted, what they think they want to do. And especially now, as you know, we have thousands of college grads who have not been able to find a job. Having served in the military, but not only that, in Vietnam, I'm a Vietnam vet. I encourage young people to consider the military service. What about you?
Oh, definitely. I think the military is a wonderful way of life, and we owe them a debt of gratitude for the sacrifices they've made over these 12-plus years of war since 9/11. But yes, with opportunities come vulnerabilities as well, and I think that the digital age leaves us more open to some of those predations than in the past. So it's wise to become as financially literate and well-educated as you possibly can.
And the chances of it, and the more education you have, young folks, the higher that you can rise in terms of rank, and rank means dollars and money and position. So it's something to look forward to. And I hope a lot more of our young people say, okay, this may not have been where I had intended to go, but it's an option for me now. Was your intention always to be in the military?
No, not at all. I kind of stumbled my way into the U.S. Coast Guard, and wasn't sure I was going to make it a career, but have to admit that I fell in love with what I was doing and the opportunities that I had, and I sure don't have any regrets.
No, nor do I, but I saw the world as a very young age and learned most of the things that I was able to do, from flying airplanes to being a nurse to ending up being on radio and television, all thanks to the military. So that's a great opportunity for young people who are not really sure, and I hope that they follow that. And it's also great to know that FINRA and your organization is out there to protect them if that's the approach they choose.
Absolutely. And, you know, Paul, before we leave, folks should pay attention to what's happening in Congress. There's much talk about revamping the military retirement and compensation system. You know, there are good points and bad points to that, but the most important thing I want to convey is that the value of military compensation and the individual's control over how that money is saved or invested is going to become more important over time, not less important.
And how do people find out more about that? Where would they go?
Well, these are still bills in Congress that haven't become law yet, but
okay.
We believe they will, and DOD seems to be behind some of these changes. So there will be lots of opportunity and lots of educational opportunities for folks, but get you and your spouse up to speed about finances and the thrift savings plan and other opportunities like that before this hits.
But Shanae Weiss, I know you're a busy man, and at the last minute we were able to reach out to you, and you reached back in a wonderful way. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. If you like what you've heard here, please tune in. And by all means, if you have a subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here. Paul Berry, Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. And you can contact me on my website at www.paulberry.com. See you next week, folks.